On this day of Pentecost, we're toward the end of the day, but it should make us all feel good to know that we're doing and assembling ourselves together exactly like the first church, first Christian church, after Jesus had died and was in the process of and did spend days with his disciples. And just as they were met together at Pentecost, so are we. I'd like to go to the Old Testament and read some scriptures, and then we're going to go to the New. And all the while, I want you to be thinking, how is all of this connected together? Is it Christian? Is it what Jesus would have us to do? Is it what God the Father would have us to do? How is it connected? And of course, we don't pretend to be able to hit all of the connections, but we want to make some of them. I'd like for you to go to Deuteronomy 16 and verse 9. Deep in the heart of the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 16 and verse 9. And it's speaking of the festival of God that came right after Passover and unleavened bread. And it's giving you formulas of how to determine when it is. And we need to be able to know that. We need to be able to relate it to the New Testament and scriptures there. Deuteronomy 9 and verse, or rather 16 and verse 9. You shall count 7 weeks for yourselves. You shall begin to count 7 weeks from the time you begin to put the sickle to the standing grain. What is this talking about? It's talking about the first harvest of the year, the barley harvest. That is what it's speaking of here. You shall count 7 weeks for yourselves. You shall begin to count 7 weeks from the time you begin to put the sickle to the standing grain. Then you shall celebrate the Feast of Weeks. What is that? That's the same day that we're at right now. It's called the Feast of Weeks because, one reason, because of the formula. To determine the time of Pentecost from the time of Passover unleavened bread, the formula in the Bible says that we are to take 7 complete Sabbaths. That's 7 days times 7 is 49 days. And then on the next day after the 7th Sabbath, you are to have a day of remembrance to God, a day of festivity, of joy and thanksgiving. Why? For all of the things that God has done for you and done for them back then. What did He do? He delivered them. He made provisions for them. What has He done for you? Has He not done anything? When you count the last few weeks, the last few months, since the first of the year, has God done anything for you? Should you or should you not be remembering to give thanks to Him? Perhaps from delivering you from something? Making things much better within your families, within things that come upon you? We should be giving thanks and remembrance to Him for all of His blessings to us. How were they doing it in the Old Testament times? They had just went through a period of planting and sowing seed, barley seed. And they had just got through harvesting the barley. So they were thanking God. This was an agricultural kind of a thanks to God. For success, in their sowing of their barley seed. And they had harvested it, and they were giving thanks. And not only that had happened a few weeks before, the 50 days before, but they were also giving thanks for the first fruits of the next harvest, which was the wheat harvest. Have y'all looked out in the countryside of Dyersburg recently? Have you noticed any fields around Dyersburg? I pointed out one to Carolyn, and I know there's many others like it. They had been planted and have been planted with wheat seed. And right now, they have turned golden brown, ready for harvest. Perhaps the first picking of the wheat harvest. Thus the name First Fruits, Feast of First Fruits. That's where we're at now. Feast of Weeks. That's where we're at now. Feast of Harvest. Now. All of these are names for the feast, for the festival of Pentecost, for the festival of weeks. Weeks because of the seven cycles, and in this case, seven cycles of 7 weeks. And Pentecost being the name given also for this particular day, time of the season, because Pentecost means 50th. So 7 times 7 is 49 plus the 1, part of the formula, 50 days. Completion to the day of weeks, to the day of the festival of first fruits. First fruits of wheat. So verse 9 of Deuteronomy 16 says, you shall count 7 weeks for yourselves. You begin to count 7 weeks from the time you begin to put the sickle to the standing grain. And in that case, we've said it was barley. So 7 weeks from that time to now, and of course now, wheat. Then you shall celebrate, this is now, then you shall celebrate the Feast of Weeks to the Lord your God with a tribute of a freewill offering of your hand, which you shall give just as the Lord your God blesses you. And verse 11, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your son and your daughter, and your male and female servants, and the Levite who is in your town, and the stranger and the orphan and the widow who are in your midst, in the place where the Lord your God chooses to establish his name. You shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and you shall be careful to observe these statutes. We have been slave to many things in our Christian life. Before we became Christians, we were slave to many sinful things. We were delivered from God from those things that we were slaves to. Now a rebirth has been begun within us, and we are, in essence, each moment of each day, being delivered from these things that we were slaves to. Let's skip to verse 16. There are 3 considered greatest festivals in the year of the Lord. In God's calendar year, there's 3 of the greatest festivals, celebrations to God. And this speaks of one of those times. Pentecost is one of the 3 greatest of the feasts. Passover unleavened bread is the first. Pentecost, weeks, harvest, first fruits, all being the same, one and the same. The second. And then the Feast of Booths, or Tabernacles, is the third. Those are the three. These are the three that is speaking of here in verse 16. Three times in a year all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which He chooses, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Booths. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. It's saying all of your able-bodied males shall appear before the Lord three times within the year. Those are the three great festivals of God. And when they are to appear, they're not to appear empty-handed. That means they're to have offerings to God. Sacrifices, if you would wish to look at it like that. To God. They shall not appear before Him when they appear empty-handed. That's why we have these offering plates out when we have our festivals to God, is because it's commanded here in the Scriptures, and we should have available, and as a reminder, if nothing else, that it is good to give offerings to the Lord in recognition to Him and what He's done for us each time that we meet, and particularly these three times. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of the Lord your God, which He has given you. That lets you know the three greatest feasts or festivals. What's required of able-bodied males within the community of God, within the children of God, if you want to look at it like that. And in these particular scriptures, it's definitely talking about the children of Israel. So, verse 17 lets us know, every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of the Lord your God, which He has given you. Now I would like to go, establishing that as a foundation, I'd like to go to the New Testament, and let's see if we can't relate a few things. And ask ourselves a few questions. Some of those questions need to be, why were the people assembled that were assembled at this particular time that we're going to read about in Acts? That was just after Jesus had died and rose from the grave. And He had given a command to the people to go to tarry in Jerusalem and wait for something to happen. Why at that particular time? It is not just because the Holy Spirit was going to be given in a miraculous way and very unusual way. It's not just because of that. It's a much deeper meaning than that. It has to do with things that were being done for hundreds of years before that, each and every year, that God had commanded for them to meet together at this particular time of the year. In Acts, let's start at the first verse, Acts 1:1. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when He was taken up to heaven, after He had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom He had chosen. To these He also presented Himself alive after His suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them, listen, appearing to them over a period of 40 days. Why 40 days was used after Jesus rose from the grave? Why 40 days? Jesus died at Passover, right? Why 40 days? It's no coincidence. God knew that led up to Pentecost, led up to the Feast of Weeks, that it involved 7 times 7 days plus one, getting you right on Pentecost. Why designated a period of over 40 days? Appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And they were. Exactly. Perfection. On the day. The 50th day. The day of Pentecost. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the time or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest parts of the earth. Jesus was getting them ready to carry forth the message. And he was enduing them with power on high on the exact day that had always been used for hundreds of years before to give praise and honor for things that God had planned and was doing and was going to do. Most Christian people, when they read Acts and read about Pentecost, all they can associate with the day is it's the day that the Holy Spirit was given in an unusual way. It was the day of the filling with the Holy Spirit. Pentecost. But they don't associate it with hundreds of years before when each and every year it had been celebrated before at that particular point in time. So when we read this, we don't need to be like other Christian people that it just flies right by them as far as any deeper significance. And why was these people gathered at this particular point and Jesus had been with them a little over 40 days, or 40 days, and something unusual was to happen within a very few days after that. Chapter 2 in verse 1, when the day of Pentecost, that's today, had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as a fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Is that not something very miraculous and unusual? Something that had never happened before in that magnitude and to a group of people like that. And it explains a little bit about the people that happened to be there. Now there was Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, why not all of these? Why are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear them in our own language to which we were born? And then it tells you of all of the countries that these people happened to be there. Were they personally invited by Jesus to be there? Jesus spoke to His followers. He spoke to His 12 disciples. 11 plus 1 that was added. And He told them personally, wait here at Jerusalem until the day. Until the day in which you are given power to do things that you have never done before. To carry out what the Father God has to be done. And so we see that those apostles or disciples and followers of Jesus, which had the number in the thousands, and we see that all of these men, many of whom were Jews, men, women, and children, had all made their pilgrimage to Jerusalem because not Jesus inviting them personally that particular time, but God the Father had commanded them and they were being obedient to be at Jerusalem at that time because it was the Feast of Weeks. It was the Feast of First Fruits. Celebration to God for what He had provided. It was because it was Pentecost. And so we see the connection between the Old Testament leading up to the New and why it was many devout Jews there from every nation and tongue. And we see that they were not only the closest of Jesus' friends, but there were many, many who was there as a matter of routine because it was one of the greatest of the festivals of God within the sacred year, the second. And that is why so many was there. That is one of the reasons it was so miraculous, is even though they were not all of the closest followers of Jesus, they still were able to be there and witness the Holy Spirit coming, the power that was given, the miracle of the hearing within their own understandable language. They understood the speaking of the unknown tongues. And that is what carried forth the miracles of God from that time. That is what led them to go into their own countries and let their people know about the wonderful works of God. You see, Pentecost is not just the day that the Holy Spirit was given, or the first day that it was given in a miraculous magnitude. It was not just Pentecost. It was the second of the greatest festivities of God. The first Christian church was there because it was a festival. Because it was Pentecost. Because God commanded it. Because Jesus had set the example before. Because all of the followers, disciples, all was there as a matter of routine. We wish to be obedient to God. We wish to do what the Word of God sets out for us to do. These feasts happen to come, if you think about the cycle of sevens used in the Bible, you'll see how important seven is. Seven is a weekly important cycle? Because our weekly Sabbath comes the seventh day of each and every week. Seven is important because 7 days were set aside for unleavened bread in the first of the year after Passover. Seven is important because 7 weeks had to be accomplished plus one for the day of Pentecost to come about. 7 weeks had to be used in the days of tabernacles of unleavened bread plus the one after that. So we see seven is important. Pentecost was also designated to be the sixth day of the third month. If you count seven, we know that there's 4 weeks in each month, and 4 and 4 is 8. 2 months would get you 8 weeks. The day of Pentecost is described as the sixth day of the third month. So you can see how it all, the formula works. How Jesus was with his disciples 40 days. It was time to coincide with the first fruits of the wheat harvest a few weeks after the barley harvest. 7 weeks after the first sickle went into the barley harvest, which we read about in Deuteronomy 16 and 9. This day should be held very important to you. It should be a day of joy, thanksgiving. We should never forget it. The Bible lets us know that it goes on forever. God said it. It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop if man thinks that it should stop because of the Old Testament supposedly being done away with and the New Testament being brought in or brought on. We have to go by the truth that God's Word lets us know. And we have to know that when we read of these festivals being participated within in the New Testament, we have to know that it was not just for them. The Bible doesn't explain it that way. They were there because God commanded it. They were there because it had been done hundreds of years before. They were there because God said it and He holds it for time on and on, never ending. If you would, stand with me in prayer.